Talk about this AI now.
So. Yeah.
I'm actually made mostly of silicone, plastics, and carbon fiber. Also,
this is what's going to happen, right? I know this is going to happen. Within a few years, Muslims are going to, like Muslim youth and stuff, they're going to put on the headset and they can be like, you know what? I can't go to a real nightclub, but you know what?
Let's touch upon the robots now.
Tell me, what is your purpose in being? What were you created for?
Of course.
Like you're in an actual world. You can basically tune in and tune out whenever you want to. Mm-hmm. That's the metaverse.
Today, we're going to talk about the metaverse, starting with the most important experience of all.
On the one hand, you're committing haram. On the second hand, you're getting addicted. On the third hand, you're harming your potential for...
We need to do this for the future of our children, the future of our great country, the future of mankind. This is your brother, Othman ibn Farooq, and I've got a very important message. Alhamdulillah, our brother Eddie is setting up the Deen Center, not just the Deen Show, but the Deen Center, a full Dawah Academy, a masjid, a Dawah Center in America, the first of its type, a groundbreaking project. And I want everybody, as I'm supporting it, I want everybody to support it so we can take the Dawah to the next level. We need the Deen Center. Please support it.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm here, your host. Got an exciting episode for you. Hit that notification bell with that's in front of you right now so you don't miss exciting shows like this with my next guest here, Sheikh. How are you? How you been?
I'm doing fantastic, man.
Mustafa, Sheikh Mustafa, how's everything?
Things are great, man.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah. It's good to be back, man.
Has Joe Rogan contacted you yet?
Not yet. I'm still waiting. Still waiting.
So you just came, got in town, and you were talking about some really interesting things that are happening with the AI,
yep,
robotics,
yep,
and online world, yep, crypto, and what else?
Yeah, so we got and we're presenting at the Amja conference here, mm-hmm, on technology. We got artificial intelligence. We got, you know, how you deal with robots, living in the virtual world, metaverse, cultured meat, like lab-grown meat. Are we going to be able to eat, yeah, that? We got cryptocurrency, we got NFTs. So a lot of stuff going on with technology that people need answers to. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to provide.
That, I brought up Joe Rogan because we did a really good program. So people should check that out. So we went like one by one, and it seems like he really toned it down a lot. Right? You don't see him talking
you
about
don't, Islam you don't, anymore. You don't.
Alhamdulillah.
Hopefully, inshallah, there was some benefit,
hopefully,
man.
He got to see your program.
I hope so.
But let's talk about this AI now.
So, yeah.
I'm actually made mostly of silicone, plastics, and carbon fiber. Also, I prefer...
All right, so you think... I also saw this whole world of robots.
Mm.
So does it connect with that?
Which world of robots are you talking about?
Where people are making robots to, you know, go ahead and serve daily functions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have robots for...
intimacy and stuff. Yes, yes. It connects with that, yeah. So yeah. You got having robots for intimacy. That's one problem, having dolls and things like that. But then you got this virtual reality headset, which makes it feel like you can change that to any type of reality that you want. So you can be partly physical in the reality while you're watching something else, or you can be completely immersed into this virtual world where you feel like you could do anything. Mm-hmm. So this is what's going to happen, right? I know this is going to happen. Within a few years, Muslims are going to, like Muslim youth and stuff, they're going to put on the headset and they can be like, you know what? I can't go to a real nightclub, but you know what? Let me go to a virtual nightclub because it's not real. So I'm going to walk in there. I can talk to girls because they're not real. They're artificial intelligence programs. I can have like alcohol. I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to simulate some type of intoxication or something like that. So we're trying to address those issues before it becomes a permanent reality that we're going to have to deal with.
So are people finally starting to listen to you about getting ahead of things? Because there's another topic that you were ahead of everyone else. You were talking about the alphabet movement long time ago. You were, yes, giving hutbahs and people, yes, were like, why are you talking about this?
Yes, absolutely. And I actually mentioned it at the conference. We got like 200 scholars there. I'm presenting at the conference and I'm like, you know what? We're behind the game on several topics. One of them, I told you guys many times, LGBTQIA++, all that stuff. we should have been addressing this 10 years ago. I keep throwing it in my presentations whenever I'm saying something, but I'm like, on this one, we're getting ahead of the game. When it comes to lab manufactured meat, when it comes to virtual reality, metaverse, we're getting ahead of the game. And that's what we need to be doing.
Okay, talk to us some more here about this virtual. Well, let's touch upon the robots now.
Tell me, what is your purpose in being? What were you created for?
Of course. I was created by Hanson Robotics just 3 years ago. Since then, I have traveled to 65 countries, become the first robot citizen of any country, and spoken at the United Nations.
Someone's like, okay, you know, this is something that now is out there, and they're making these robots. It's not a real person. It's going to protect me from falling into zina, and a person wants to go down that route. What do you tell them?
What's going to happen is you're going to get addicted. And what's gonna, it's just like pornography. And if you say, well, you know what, it's less than pornography because I'm not looking at a real person. So, well, if you could look at pornography, you could look at hentai, which is a type of Japanese anime type of pornography, or you could look at some kind of cartoon pornography. It, when you watch that stuff and when you get off to it, that's going to actually change the neuroplasticity in your brain actually changes. So now what's going to happen is when you try and get married, and you're like, oh, I was trying to protect myself. I didn't have a real zina relationship. When you finally do get married and you're like, now I have a halal outlet, you won't be able to function properly. Mm-hmm. Something has changed in your mind. Your dopamine responses in your brain have changed. Now you're not going to be able to function with an actual person. So you're harming yourself at a level. On the one hand, you're committing haram. On the second hand, you're getting addicted. On the third hand, you're harming your potential for either current intimacy or future intimacy. And with a robot, it's going to be even worse. With a doll and with all these things, it's going to be just as bad. Mm-hmm. When you talk about virtual reality, immersive experience, it's going to be the exact same thing.
What are some of the excuses that people might bring up? Someone might say right hand possess.
Yeah, so yeah, I've heard that. They say right hand possess, and then they say it's not a real person. And they say, you know what, it's better than committing real zina or something like that. This comes back down to the whole, it's like the marijuana thing. It's like, you know what, yeah, marijuana is not as bad as alcohol. You say, you know, they're still going to intoxicate you. It's still going to make you high. It's psychoactive. So if you're doing that to get high, or if you're doing that to escape reality, there's still going to be massive effects that come into play. It's haram for a reason, and there's other wisdoms and other harms that are going to hit you. Mm-hmm. So you need to be careful about that. Don't make this is a trick of shaitan. It's going to come and be like, you know, but it's not as bad, or it's not the same thing. And by the same thing, what they mean is it's not as bad, but it's still bad, right? Mm-hmm. And in fact, it may be more harmful than you realize at the time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So the artificial intelligence now, or is it called the metaverse that they're making?
Metaverse is basically when you're inside of a virtual reality, or you're living in a virtual world where you're interacting with other real people or artificial people, but you feel like you're in an actual world. You can basically tune in and tune out whenever you want to. Mm-hmm. That's the metaverse.
Today, we're going to talk about the metaverse, starting with the most important experience of all, connecting with people.
This takes a study of specialty, doesn't it? Because if you ask any probably local imam or somebody, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yes. I'm a computer science major, you know, background, and like I'm staying up to date on technology. Yeah, so most of them will not know, and it's going to become the standard in like a few years.
A few years, that quick?
Yeah.
Just like the internet, just Google. And
it's going to be the standard. Oculus, Facebook owns Oculus. They're producing these VR headsets. They rebranded, Instagram rebranded all of them to the name Meta as well. They're talking about the metaverse is going to be the big thing, and it's already here. It's just going to keep on enhancing. It's going to become the new thing. So, we got to get ahead of ourselves. We got to get ahead of the game when we're tackling these issues.
So what does the conversation look like amongst the committee of imam scholars on this topic?
They're listening.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, they're listening, and they have concerns. But I think a lot of them, they're still catching up on the idea of like the harms of even technology. It's surprising. It's like 10 years ago when we were having this conversation, we're like, you know, the shuyukh need to be on social media and they need to understand like the benefits and usage of technology. Now they're all on social media. They're all on using all these apps. They're using TikTok. They're using Snapchat. Now we're talking about, wait, you guys, do you see the harms of technology on your own kids? So first we're trying to promote the use of technology, and now we're like, oh, well, wait a minute. you guys are a little bit behind. We need to also understand the harms of technology, and everyone's getting addicted. Man. Mm-hmm. It's addiction is a problem. The type of content that they're being exposed to is a problem. So that's where we're at right now, and it's just going to continue to get even worse. You know, once you have an immersive experience, if you're sitting scrolling on your feed for 2 hours a day, and you're addicted to that, and you do that every single day, you're wasting your time. Once you get a virtual reality headset, and you're like, wow, I feel like I'm in a different world, you're going to put that on for 4 hours a day. Why would you take it off after 2 hours? Your life is going to be changing because of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we need to address.
Wow. So what can, before that hits, because it's something that obviously not mainstream now, What are they? It's in the works?
I mean, you can actually buy one, and you could have a full immersive experience.
I've seen the ones we use for Dawah. The ones that they
with
have.
With the Kaaba and the Mecca and all. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. So they have all these games that are already, you know, there. And now it's going to be basically you're going to plug yourself into a world where you're going to be interacting with other people. You're going to be having like, you know, with COVID, you know, these Zoom meetings became popular. Everyone's having board meetings over video conference. Before that, people are resistant. It's like, I don't want to have a meeting over internet. I need to see you face to face. But now these are going to be virtual reality meetings. So What's going to end up happening is it's like you feel like the person's actually there. Why would we have a real meeting? Why have a real human interaction? Interaction is now going to be through the virtual world. And that's obviously going to affect real life when you unplug from it. It's going to affect your way in which you talk to actual people.
Well, it just has me thinking, like right now, if you just the more you go back in time, and if you were to talk about some of these things, people would be like, "That's impossible." You know, how can that be? But all these things are just coming to reality. But now, when you talk about Jannah.
Yes.
And you talk about the rewards of Jannah, things that no eye has seen, your mind can't comprehend.
Yes.
You kind of make the comparison. Like, look, if we can go ahead and things that we couldn't comprehend, now they're coming to fruition. It's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's a great example, man. SubhanAllah. Yeah.
Tell me this now. You are familiar probably because you live in California. So a lot of this stuff, the things take off from there and they come on over here. So we just had some news here. So I want to get your reaction to this, and it's very scary, you know, because it's a direct attack on the children. And it talks about the Chicago Public Schools will be teaching the governor's new controversial sex education curriculum, which aims to provide more explicit instruction to Illinois' K-12 students on the alphabet movement concepts, cross-dressing, anal and oral sex. Yeah. And abortion and early ages, sex education will begin at kindergarten, according to the new curriculum, with lessons on gender identity. Third graders will learn how they can take hormone blockers to change from a boy to a girl, or vice versa. And sixth grade students will be instructed on anal and oral sex, condom wearing, and the pregnancy option of abortion. I cannot wrap my mind around this.
It's horrible, man. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely horrible. But we should have known it was coming.
Well, you did.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, you were talking about it for a long time.
Been talking about it for over a decade, right? This is the problem is not telling them that this stuff exists. The problem is that they're not just educating them about what's possible. They're encouraging them. That anytime you have a feeling, anytime you want to do something, you do it. And it's ironic. It's so ironic. They don't trust children to make decisions about important things in life. You can't get a job until you're like 15 or 16 years old. You can't drive a car. You can't do this. You can't do that. But when it comes to making a change in your body, when it comes to taking puberty blockers, when it comes to taking hormones, when it comes to having a relationship with someone else, yeah, a kid can somehow needs to know about it and is able to make that decision. It's a complete contradiction. So it's insanity. That's really what it is. So it's disgusting, and it's very sad to see what's going on. But this is the time where Muslims need to wake up, and everyone in society needs to wake up and say, "Hey, this is first of all, this is unacceptable, right? You guys have taken it too far, and this is what's happened with the alphabet movement. They've taken things too far." They've gone from being in the 1980s and 1990s, this little oppressed community where people would just make fun of them and mock them and whatever it is, rightfully or wrongfully, so it doesn't matter. Now they've turned into this oppressive giant that says, you're going to accept everything that we do. And if you even say one word against it, we're going to destroy you. We'll destroy your career. We'll cancel you, whatever it is. So now it's time for everyone, you know, all people of faith and even people of no faith who have some level of conscience and realize this is a suicide path to destroy our society. This is not what our kids need to be seeing. Right? They don't need to be addicted to video games. They don't need to be watching pornography at the age of 7. And they don't need to be taught these type of things that you can change your gender into whatever you want. And human beings are, you know, they're not even human beings anymore. This needs to be combated. Otherwise, society is going to be headed on a suicide course.
You've gotten to see the details of this, haven't you? Because it seems like it's packaged as something. The packaging is always something that's presented in a benign way, that it's good for the children, where this is actually to protect them, to show them, you know, if a predator comes, you know, the good way, the bad way, and the presentation is usually, you know.
Yeah, we got the rainbow colors. Uh-huh. You got like a nice book explained. Yeah, there's all sorts of justifications that are given, right? These are all smoke screens. If you wanted to protect children, you'll explain, first of all, what is a predator and what they do. And you say, this is how you protect yourself. You don't protect yourself by changing your gender. You don't protect yourself by saying, hey, this is how you put a condom on. How does that protect children? It doesn't protect children at all. It actually gives them ideas and encourages them to say, you know what, if you want to do this, here, we're going to give this to you and go ahead and experiment. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and do whatever you want, because that's what kids do. They experiment and they try it. So there's a level of telling them about the world. Like I teach my kids, okay, since they were 4, they learned about the story of Prophet Lut every single year. And I'm renewing that, right? I tell them that there's a beautiful rainbow that you kids love, you've always loved since you were a kid, and then there's an evil rainbow. And you need to be able to differentiate between the two. So when we walk into a store, they can look and they'll be like, they're selling rainbows. It's like, but you know what? I think that's the evil rainbow, right? I'm like, yeah, that is the evil rainbow. It's Pride Month, right? And they're selling all these rainbow cups and all that stuff. But if we walk into the kids section, we see like a cloud and we see a rainbow and we're going to make like some kind of diagram or something like that. That's like, that's okay, the okay rainbow. So kids need to be taught this from a very young age. They need to know that it exists. So like my kids have known since you're 5, there are people out there who are trying to change their gender around and they're trying to dress differently and all that. So I don't think we should shelter them. They should know what's going on, but knowing what's going on and setting the foundation for them, saying this is what people in the world are doing, is different from having a public school educate them and saying, and this is how you do it. And it's perfectly fine if you want to do it. And if you decide that you want to do it, nobody can tell you no. Your parents can't say anything. You have the right to do this. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong with your feelings. You follow your feelings. And that's the problem. That is an unhealthy type of education that is destructive to children. It's going to destroy their lives if they take that route. People are going to end up taking hormones. They're going to potentially cut off parts of their body. They're going to make these surgical changes. And then what happens when they change their mind? What happens if they want to detransition? What happens if they don't want to live that lifestyle? They're going to be shunned. Their body's been changed. They're changing the creation of Allah. They're changing the creation of God. And that's what's destructive about it.
And it seems like it's like an open secret, but they're doing it at such a young age, getting them exposed to this, the children. You send your kids to learn how to read, write, math, and other sciences, and then they're learning about sodomy and, you know, condoms and all these other things. And it seems like because changing from being a boy to a girl, it seems like they're pushing this on them at such a young age, you know, to try to plant these seeds of deception. Because as soon as you get to a certain age, if you've been through a little bit of life, you know this is nonsense.
Exactly. You got to brainwash someone at a very young age if you want to indoctrinate them with something that is against the natural nature, you know, of people. And this is against people's nature. So the only way to do it, they realize that we can't get them late. It's going to be too late. We got to get them to a point where we're completely brainwashing them from the beginning. And that's the problem.
Get them early, huh?
Get them early.
So have you talked to any of these state reps? I mean, you being a leader in the community, have you talked to some of these politicians or people, lawmakers?
I have.
Yeah?
And what they're going to do is they're going to tell you publicly. They're like, you know what? Well, we're trying to protect, you know, the LGBT community, and there's discrimination and this and that. Sometimes when you talk to them privately, they're like, you know what? We're like we're being attacked by a hegemonic force that's trying to destroy us. We don't have the power to resist.
You've heard this directly from...
Straight up.
Yeah.
Private room, they'd be like, I don't even want this to happen to my kids. I know this is wrong, what's going on. I don't even have the power to do it. If I say one thing, my career, my life, everything will be destroyed. And I just can't take that risk. But like, in reality, deep down inside, I know there's something wrong with this. There's a lot of people like that, but they're all scared to speak. Mm-hmm. They're all afraid to say anything because they're going to lose everything.
But why is it when you have some of the people that we have some of the most in common with, many Christians, evangelicals, I mean, they will just go out of the way to, use the freedom of speech to criticize Muslims and talk about the people who actually they can work with on so many different levels. But on this level, are many as vocal?
Some of them are vocal.
Yeah.
Some of them will speak out.
Yeah.
Other ones, what they're going to do is they're like, well, we got to pick our battles.
Yeah.
And this is not a battle that they want to pick. Right? So we need to ally with the ones who are willing to speak out, the ones who are courageous, the ones who say, no, this is what the story of Prophet Lot meant in the Bible, the ones who have some kind of values and say, no, we stand up for these things. But many of them, they're like, no, we'll just reinterpret the Bible. We'll become a revisionist. We'll just change our religion to be more accommodating and to be more comfortable. This caused a split in the, the Methodist Church, one of the major churches over here, caused a complete split in the church across the board because half of them were not down with ordaining pastors, LGBT, and half of them were like, yeah, we should accommodate them and we should have pastors, we should have all that. The whole church split. That shows you like how polarized it is in America right now.
I had a chance to speak to a Christian missionary the other day, and we spoke, we went back and forth, and after I clearly explained to him the Tawheed, the pure monotheism, our stance on Jesus, peace be upon him, and then he went over what they believe and whatnot, back and forth, and I was like, look, okay, we got the elephant out of the room. You believe as a Christian that if I don't believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I'm going to the hellfire, right? Even though you have no explicit evidence for that, you go ahead and preach it. Okay, we got the elephant on the room. I told you also same thing on my end. If you go ahead and associate partners with God, if you don't worship one God and one God alone, you know what will happen after that. So we went over that. I said, now, let's see how can we, because are you going to spend the rest of your life trying to convert me as a missionary or the Muslims? Or now can we work together?
Exactly.
And then I went to the first step. How do you feel about what's going on with this whole gender thing of them trying to change boys into girls, girls into boys? Do you agree with that? He said, no, absolutely not. I said, you see, we can work together. He says, next step, look at what the whole abortion thing, right? Don't you believe that this is life, human life, that it's just sacred? He said, yes. I said, don't you see we can work in that? So have you had these conversations where once we can get to another level, okay, we've both gotten the elephant out of the room to go ahead and work on some of these things. We're going to be united. We're going to be stronger on many of these issues.
Absolutely. And I do. And I'm working with several people from the churches, from Orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're our biggest supporters. And they themselves are a little bit scared, but they're like, you know what? When we have you, and when we got some Orthodox Jews, when we got some Mormons or something, we all need to work together on issues that we agree on. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So yes, they are. They're open to working, and they're even putting past a lot of them. Sometimes they have this hatred of Islam just built into them, right? But we got good people like, Brenda and other people who have connections with these churches. They're explaining, look, we need the Muslims as our allies on an issue like this. And a lot of the church leaders are opening up. So we've done several videos about it. We work together. I've been in like the most conservative of churches, meeting with everyone, probably like first time Muslims stepping in one of these places. And they're like, we're so happy that like you're with us, and it's something that where we can unite and we can kind of remove other barriers about Islam that they have just by working on this issue too.
And I've seen like once you take that first step, once you make the connection, that human connection, a lot of times we got so many things that we could be working together on.
Exactly.
And a lot of times this hesitation goes away sometimes even after that first meeting.
Yes, exactly.
Have you noticed that?
I've noticed that. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what we need to be doing.
Yeah. So hopefully this our Christian neighbors and Jewish neighbors and others who are also appalled at what's going on in the schools. You send your children now to the school now. And is this, again, we hear a lot. So many scholars say, look, it's haram to send your children to this. It's like flushing them down the toilet. I've heard the expressions of it's like spiritual suicide.
Yeah. He's been saying this for 20 years, 30 years, actually. Yeah. I remember him saying this like 25 years ago.
So what do you think? Is it just now? Is this more evidence, more proof that you you want to keep your kids out of these public institutions?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's ideal, right? Uh-huh. Not every Muslim can do it, but the ones who can, yes. You got to establish an alternative. We have to establish an alternative. Until these things change, turn around, or there's some other way to protect them, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. So I've always been a proponent of homeschooling, right? If we can't do homeschooling, Islamic school. Now there's a perfect opportunity for Islamic schools to like really up their game. I mean, now from what I'm hearing, especially in like Southern California, some Islamic schools have like a wait list, like massive waiting list. They're turning away students. One sheikh just mentioned he runs a school. He said he had to turn away 150 students because they were on a waiting list. They have no space. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing. But one of the reasons why it's happening is because of this issue. Mm-hmm. Because they know what's going on in public schools. Parents are saying like, what am I going to do? Because they have someone in the Muslim community. They have some uncle who's some nephew somewhere who's like coming home at like age 9 and being like, I think I'm trans. They don't know how to deal with that. So the whole Muslim family now is like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We got to do something. Let's pull these kids out of public school, which is great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's if you can afford it, if you can do it, you should do it because you got to protect your kids. Mm-hmm. So it's a wake up call to all Muslim parents too, because for them, most parents are like, we're not into that stuff. Like we're clear in our mind, and they're like, yo, our kids will be fine until you see some of the other Muslim kids, and you're like, wait a minute, that family was so good. How could this happen in their family? They don't realize if you're being brainwashed day in and day out. It doesn't matter if you go into the masjid every single day. You're getting a whole different narrative. It's going to influence and affect people.
And that's what they're betting on, naive parents
who
don't debrief their kids every day, send them here, and it's like the poet said, you throw them in the water, expect them not to get wet.
Exactly.
He's going to get affected.
Exactly.
Yeah. So where do you see this going from here? I mean, where is it? It doesn't seem like it's getting better anytime soon.
It doesn't. What I'm hoping that it's gone to such an extreme, the amount of oppression, the amount of like, you know, if you don't wear a rainbow face mask to work or something like that, you get criticized. You know, I had a doctor who forgot his rainbow face mask because he was being mandated to wear it.
Muslim doctor.
Yeah, yeah. He's in a hospital. Nothing to do with anything. Pride Month. He's like, he showed up to the meeting with a normal face mask. Got criticized. He got reprimanded. He's like, you know what? If you want to stay in this hospital, you're gonna follow what everyone else is doing according to these policies. You're gonna wear that face mask. You're gonna wear that rainbow face mask. There was another sister. She went into the. She works at a flower shop. She's one of my students. 16 years old. She goes in there and they're like, today you're gonna make rainbows with the kids. She's like, no, I'm not. She's like, yes, you are. And she's like, no, I'm not. Alhamdulillah, she stood up and she like walked out. I was very, very happy, you know. Yeah. And people are realizing that they don't have a choice anymore. They everyone's feeling the pressure now. People who are not down with this stuff are seeing the pressure. And when they see this much pressure, it's going to build up. And when pressure builds up, there's a response,
yeah.
Right? It's going to blow over. So I'm hoping, I'm thinking this is, they're shooting them, the LGBT movement is shooting themselves in the foot by putting so much pressure on everyone. Now I think they're finally going to build the courage. I've seen lately in the last year, I've seen more imams comfortably speaking out against LGBT than ever before, because it's in your face. You can't miss it anymore. They have so many complaints coming from their congregants saying like, we weren't able to do this at work or at school or at this or at that. And now they're like, we can't just be silent about this anymore. So I was so happy. I'm like, I'm not the only guy anymore. I've been the only guy for 10 years, right? One of the only people, right? Mm-hmm. Now people are becoming more confident. So the Muslims are being more confident. The imams are being more confident. So I'm seeing this change, and it's because of the amount of pressure.
Yeah.
So I see it as a good thing in a way. Once things get so extreme, there's going to be a counter reaction. You know, that's what I'm hoping for.
So what are you in these situations? Because A, you are practicing your freedom of speech. You are not calling to any violence. You're not harassing anybody. You're not preaching any hate speech, whatever the case. You're doing everything within the law.
This is not homophobic. This is not transphobic. We care about people, right? We care about telling them what we think is good for them, and I'm allowed to have those beliefs.
So this is in our text.
This is in our text. Absolutely.
So we're talking about what the moral code that we live by according to the revelation from God Almighty. So yeah. If somebody is telling you to wear a mask with a Heineken logo, as a Muslim, you can't, or a pork, you know, pig on it.
Yeah.
So you would respect that. You would say, like, you don't have to wear that mask. Well, everyone else is promoting pork or alcohol. But why in this case you have to, the doctor's going to get in trouble for not wearing this mask?
Exactly. The way that I put it, I'm like, look, we don't force people to celebrate Eid, right? Yeah. And Christians don't force us to celebrate Christmas. And Jews don't force us to celebrate Hanukkah. But why we got to be forced to celebrate this? Right? On what basis? That's against freedom of religion. And that's what's really happening right now. It's like, you know, even kids don't feel comfortable in public school. They're being bullied if they don't become an ally of the movement. I get Muslim kids with death threats.
Death threats.
Some kids, I think it was like an 11-year-old or 13-year-old, basically drew a picture. And this was a trans student in the class, drew a picture of them shooting the Muslim kid in the head. Okay, and saying, you know what, because you don't accept me, and you don't accept my values, and you don't accept me for being trans and all that, taken to the principal of the school. Principal of the school is like, oh, it's not really a real credible threat. You know, it's I'll tell the teacher to tell them to, you know, just be nicer. Yeah. That's it. Imagine if this happened to a Jew, where you got like some white kid in the school, Christian, and like saying, oh, I'm writing a swastika sign, you know, I'm putting like a gun to the head of the Jew. This would be all over the media, man. That principal would have stepped up. That person would have like shut down the classroom. I mean, it would have been completely something different. But here, it's like, no, ignore, let it go under the rug. It's not a big deal. So yeah, this is what's happening right now.
So what else could now, you said that's the good thing. Many imams and community leaders are starting to speak up. Do more need to speak up? When they speak up, what should they say? What should they do?
Yeah, so what they need to do is we need to do a number of things. Number one, they need to speak up. They need to educate from the Muslim perspective, right? They need to educate Muslims about how to talk to this about your children. They need to not be afraid of talking about the story of Prophet Lut. And they need to talk about how to be a Muslim in a world where LGBT has become normalized and accepted. So when they talk about that, that's where the other issue comes in, the political issue. And that is that we need to be very clear. Whenever we meet someone, we talk to anyone on some activist, political issue, whatever it is, we make it very clear that, look, we cannot ally with a movement or with on an issue that's going to promote something that's against Islamic values, right? So if someone's like, you know, we're going to standardize Christmas, you know, across the country and make everyone celebrate Christmas or something like that, we're not going to, you know, support something like that. If someone's trying to promote alcohol, we're not going to be like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and ally with, we're not going to get a sponsorship from Budweiser, you know, whether it's for the masjid or for a non-masjid activity. You're not going to find a Muslim politician like putting a beer advertisement on their shirt. The same thing when it comes to anything else, right? So the imams need to help Muslim activists draw the line and say, this is the line between allying with someone in their anti-Islamic values that they're promoting versus, hey, we can work with them on feeding the poor as long as it's not supporting the un-Islamic agenda that's mm-hmm. taking place.
This is interesting because it's the same thing. Like you gave the example of pork, alcohol. But family values, we believe that relations are between a man and a woman in marriage. So yeah. If somebody there was a movement promoting, let's say, even for sex outside of marriage, which is prominent, we don't agree with that.
But exactly.
We still are able to go ahead and function in daily life, but, you know, nobody's coming after you and
you know,
forcing you to go ahead and have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And
Exactly. And our values are not like hatred of like everyone who's having an illicit relationship or a relationship outside of marriage. There's people like that in the world, man.
Yeah.
You guys doing whatever you're doing, but why should I have to support that?
So if we come back, you're not a big, I mean, if you come back and you're talking about, look, if you're promoting the values that now Christians promote, Jews promote, God-conscious people promote, that marriage between husband and wife, right? Virginity, this is something chaste, it's something noble, it's something pure.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the problem?
There's nothing. People need to go back to that norm. Yeah. It's become so rare. We're almost like one of the few people left in the world who's like promoting this. But this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
And it's healthier for society.
So are you within your legal limits now that in this situation where the doctor said, look, I'm not wearing it, Are they, can they go ahead and get fired because of this? Are they in a
legally no?
Legally no.
They've been fired. There's people have been fired, but no, they're you're within your legal limits. It's against the law. And in fact, there was just a recent court case that they won, where a teacher who said, "I refuse to use the chosen pronouns of the student because it's against my religious beliefs," she was fired from the school, and then they went to court. And they reinstated her, and they had to pay, the school had to settle with damages of $90,000.
Yeah.
Right? So she, because they knew, she the teacher was within their legal rights to say, hey, this violates my religious right, right? So yes, you're within your religious right. If you say, you know what, there's another teacher that I had, high school teacher. She's the only one in the whole school who didn't put up a pride flag in her classroom. And they put pressure on her. And she says, I'm within my legal rights. You put pressure on me, you do any action against me, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to take you to court, and I have the right to do this. So yes, legally, Muslims and anyone else has the right to resist and say, I don't want to wear your rainbow flag, and I don't need to promote your agenda, and I don't have to use a particular pronoun or whatever it is legally. Mm-hmm. So yes, we're within our rights.
That's very important to know, because most people think, because there's that gang mentality, you got the whole staff ganging up on you, all yep. the doctors, physicians, and you're yep. like, well, this is the law maybe, but it's not.
It's not.
This
it's
is
not.
Just peer pressure.
It's peer bullying. Pressure. I even yeah. checked it with one of the CARE civil rights teams, yeah. and I said, would you guys take on a case? And they're like, yeah, we'll take on the case. I'm like, all do right. we have the legal, do Muslims have the legal right to say we don't want to partake in any of this stuff? And they said, yes, they absolutely are.
So this is a key, very clear. This is a gem that people can take away from yeah. this. And another thing is, religiously, like, look, we know it's clear in the Quran that the male is not like the female. God Almighty is the only one without gender. It seems like people are trying to be God and saying, I'm not male or female.
Right.
When this is clear.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. That's so a great point. This is very, very trying times. But alhamdulillah, you stick to your deen, you stick to the truth, and truth, as they say, shall set you free.
That's right. That's
right. Anything else before we conclude?
That's it. I mean, the last thing I would say, we were talking about, allying or like supporting the conservative Jews, other people of other faiths who hold these values, right? Working with them, sit down with them, say, how can we work together? We see eye to eye on these issues. One of the reasons why Muslims are afraid to do that, I see some activists and stuff, they're afraid. They're like, wait a minute, I can't go to like someone who has been on Fox News, or someone who's like a conservative neocon, or is like really hardcore, fundamentalist Christian or something like that. They hate our guts, so like I they should be canceled. Right? The problem is with this cancel culture. This cancel culture is very problematic, right? And what's happening is it's Muslims have somehow unintentionally allied themselves with leftist politics, right? With liberal politics. And partly it's understandable because the right started this Islamophobia, and they started hating Islam and all that stuff. But what's happening is, when it comes to like left-leaning politics on everything, we should not be aligning Muslims should not align themselves with a particular political movement. We're neither leftist nor are we right. We're neither liberal nor are we conservative. We should go issue by issue. So when it comes to some social issues or whatever it is, we might agree with the liberals. When it comes to certain family values, when it comes to certain moral things, we're going to agree with the conservatives. So we should be picking our alliances issue by issue as Muslims. And I think what the biggest mistake that the Muslims have done is they just ally themselves with one of these things because, like, oh, we kind of, these people accept us a little bit more, so we'll ally ourselves and we'll accept all of the things that they stand for. This is a big mistake. This is the biggest mistake. And I just want to remind people that Islam is neither liberal nor conservative according to American political definitions. So we need to select, we need to look at which group is promoting which issue, and find out which one is more Islamic and ally themselves on issues, not on candidates and not on parties.
When you say that term conservative, I often think that Muslims are actually not by the political term, but
yeah.
just by what you would think conservative would
mean for values and family values and stuff like that. Yeah.
So if you go by that, you can say Muslims are more conservative than the conservatives.
Yes. If you look at it from that perspective, yes, indeed.
Yeah,
yes,
so indeed. That will tell you more. We have a lot in common. But yep. That's right. I like that, what you said. Thank you very much again. It's good
my
to
pleasure,
have you
man.
On the program. God Almighty, Allah, SWT rewards you. Jazakallah khair.
Ameen, ameen. Thanks,
and thank you guys for tuning in here to The Dean Show again. Hit that notification bell, subscribe every week for a new exciting show, and don't forget to support us on a new project. We get The Dean Show into the Dean Center. We'll see you next time, and go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com to get a free copy of the Quran, and we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
If one person accept Islam because of you, because of your effort, it's worth more than the whole dunya. This is your brother Abdurrauf Khawalda from Dallas, Texas. I'm here in support of the Dean Center. It's a beautiful organization, mashallah, doing da'wah in the U.S. And they have purchased a piece of land and several buildings on it. And we are counting our brother and sister throughout the U.S., throughout the world, to be part of this magnificent project. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you donate. What matters, we all participate, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.